Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Gabriel India Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manoj Kolhatkar, Managing Director of Gabriel India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning and a very warm welcome to everybody present on the call, and thanks for joining. Hope you're all doing well. Joining me today is Rishi Luharuka, our CFO, and Nilesh Jain, our company secretary, and our investor relations agency, which is SGA. As you all must have seen, we have already uploaded our results for the full year and the quarter four and full year and investor presentation yesterday on the stock exchange. Hope all of you had a chance to go through the same. And of course, we did have a special call after our JV announcement in early May, on May 10th, if I recollect. So this is actually the second call for the full year results. So I'll give a brief overview of the company's performance and take you along slide by slide on the presentation, and then open it up for any questions and clarifications. So if you refer to the presentation, I think the first few slides, I think straight you can go to slide number 5, which captures the quarter performance. We did a sale of 737 crores. It's been a healthy quarter. I mean, of course, not as good as Q2. As we all know, Q2 is a festive season quarter. That is always the best. Second is this quarter, which is in line with that. So 737 crore of sale with an EBITDA of 7.1% and PBT of 6.1%. If you come to slide 6, you can see that, again, the same figures here, but just to share that the cash position is now improved to 300 crores and the cash flow from operations, has improved to 115 crores as compared to 31 crores in the corresponding quarter last year. We incurred a capex of 37 crores in the quarter. So this is for the quarter. And if you come to the slide, next slide, which is for the full year, we had, of course, the best year, like many of us in the auto industry. It was a fabulous year for the auto industry as a whole. We did 2,972 crores, so we just missed 3,000 by a small margin, which is a growth of 27% compared to last year. And EBITDA, we posted a growth of 46% compared to last year. And PBT, 40.7% growth compared to last year. The cash flow has been good, to the tune of 136 crores compared to 95 crores in the previous year. Capex incurred for the period is 106 crores. So going forward, we are, of course, expecting that we'll deliver a strong quarter again. I mean, in terms of the industry so far is holding on to numbers. There was a bit of concern due to the implementation of OBD2. However, April and May have been okay. Of course, yes, this year as an industry, just to give a perspective, we are expecting it not to be as strong as last year. It will still be a growth year, but more in a high single digit is what is the overall expectation of the industry. So we are also happy to announce that the board has recommended, based on the last year's performance, the board has recommended final dividend of 1.65 on the face value of rupee 1. And this is subject to the approval of shareholders. So the dividend payout ratio is maintained, in fact, maybe a little much higher at 28%. Coming to the industry, while I'm speaking on that, there was overall industry growth of 22%. Each segment has done well, despite the inflationary pressures and continued semiconductor issues. We still saw a good growth because there was a good pent-up demand, and that still holds on. As you all know, if you go to buy a car today, I think no car comes without a waiting period, and some cars particularly SUVs, you know, come with a waiting period of as high as even 18 months. So even two-wheelers did both a growth of about 8 to 9%. Passenger cars did very well in terms of growth compared to last year of 27%. Commercial vehicles by 34%. Tractors also had a record year. Of course, we don't supply to tractors, but as they form part of the automobile industry, they also did very well, almost hit a million figure in 22-23. And three-wheelers, you know, because of the schools opening up and the commuting coming full-fledged after the COVID years, it grew a fantastic 87% year-on-year. And as you all know, you know, Gabriel has a good market share in three-wheelers. Overall, the industry sale for passenger cars was, you know, almost 3.9 million vehicles, which is the highest ever for the industry. The previous record was in 1819, which was about 3.3 million. So it's a significant growth over the highest period, which we saw pre-COVID. So that's really a good sign, and we surpassed Japan to be, you know, to become the third highest automotive passenger car market in terms of sales. Again, the various factors did contribute. One was, you know, the pent-up demand following the pandemic. A lot of new models and really, you know, cutting-edge technology and features being offered by each OEM. So this really, you know, created a lot of interest among the buyers. Improved availability of semiconductors. While I say improved, it's, you know, clear that it is still not behind us. What we hear is the semiconductor chip supply for auto industry will continue to remain a challenge for at least another 2 years. This is what, you know, again, some OEMs have shared with us. And we are also seeing some shifts, like, you know, the entry level segment is actually facing a challenge in passenger cars, but the higher ticket size cars, especially the SUVs and the premium end models within those, you know, are selling much higher, and they're growing much higher. So, which is again good news for us. In terms of CV, last year we saw again a fantastic growth of 34%. On the back of the infrastructure projects of the government, and again this we feel the growth will continue, but certainly not at this rate in this year. And the bus segment rebounded very well, which was mainly due to the schools opening up, as I mentioned, in three wheelers as well. Yes, there was some pre-buying that happened in the March due to this OBD2 you know, norms coming into place, and, you know, the price hikes that happened in two-wheelers and commercial vehicles and passenger cars as well. So there was some pre-buying, but nevertheless, demand is still good. Two-wheelers continue to remain a challenge, while we saw good growth. But again, this year there are some, you know, as we are reading, there is this El Nino effect, which is going to play some role in a little bit below normal monsoon. While it will still be okay, but it is supposed to be 95-96% of, you know, the average rainfall. So we'll have to see how that unfolds. Of course, the price increases that have happened in two-wheeler continue to, you know, pose a challenge, and of course, add to that the fuel cost increase. So we'll have to see two-wheelers, but again, the prediction of the industry is it'll be a growth in the range of, you know, 7-8% for this year. Exports, particularly in two-wheeler, which is a big, big part of, you know, each OEM, also saw a lot of challenge due to, you know, some issues in the African continent, which, you know, hopefully should ease out in the coming year, and that should start some recovery. The good part and the bright part is, of course, the EV, the electric two-wheelers, three-wheelers, and in fact even passenger cars for that matter. You know, as an industry, we crossed 1 million sales totally in EV. So that's one big milestone to start with. And, you know, the sales are continuing to be robust. And, I mean, I'll of course come to the EV story when I come to this slide. So overall, I think, you know, it's been a good year. Now I'll come back to the slides. We are, you know, right now we are left at, I was at slide 7 when I got into, you know, the overall industry. So I'll just come back to the slides. If you come to slide 8, which is more a financial track record, again, the figures are there. You must have gone through the figures, but strengthened network, better ROIC, and, you know, of course, the net working capital also, we have improved our FY21. So that's also good. And, you know, ROC, as you see forward, it's almost 31%. That is on the slide 9, which is slide, which you can refer to that right now. So the ROC is at 31.5%. Coming to slide 10, which is again the P&L statement, which I already shared. So I'll move on to the next slide 11, which captures in summary all the key financial parameters. I did mention on the ROC and the improved ROC. In fact, among the highest ROC that we have seen in the past, you know, in fact, the highest ROC that we have seen. EBITDA also, while we have discussed in several calls in the past, and we have been working on several initiatives to improve the EBITDA, you can see the trend reversing from the last 2 years, and we are, you know, hopeful of, you know, maintaining the trend and improving it further. Slide number 12 is the key ratios. Dividend I already did share. You know, it's totally 2.65, which is 90 paisa, which was declared as interim, and 165, which we declared yesterday. So totally 2.65, which is a dividend payout of 28%. In terms of again coming to slide 13, which shares the revenue mix. The good part is, you know, the passenger car has really improved in terms of our sales and overall industry sales. I'll come to the share of business slide later. So our overall two-wheeler share is now at 59%, passenger car is 27%, and commercial vehicle is 12%. In terms of the channel mix, you know, OEs, the demand was very, very strong. So that's why that is 85%, and to that extent, while we had an excellent year in aftermarket as well, we did close to 380 crores of sale totally in aftermarket, which is again a record performance and also a very good growth compared to last year. However, OE demand has been very strong, so that's why you see the channel mix reflecting that. And now if we come to slide number 15, you know, and we'll get into each of those areas shown there. So first is the exports part. Exports, we once again for the second year in a row crossed 100 crore sale. In fact, we had the highest export, though the figure is marginally higher, I mean, higher over last year. But the good part is we were able to cross 100 crores. Why I say it is good is because we, as you know, we had a challenge that the entire Volkswagen Russia sale has become zero due to the ongoing conflict there. Volkswagen has, you must have read, Volkswagen has shut shop in and actually sold it to a Russian outfit. So we are working with Volkswagen on some other export models, but however, that will take some time to fructify. So despite this setback on exports, we still did cross 100 crores. So that's the good part. And coming to the second part of this business driver is the domestic dominance. On two-wheelers, as I mentioned, you know, our traction with all players has been increasing, and our market share is now at 32%. The same market share exactly a year back when we did the investor presentation after last year's, I mean, 21-22 fiscal year performance was at 25%. So we have, I mean, very clearly gained market share, mainly through, you know, of course, our IC engine penetration, and some of our customers doing extremely well, of course, thanks to them, and electric vehicle penetration. We continue to win good orders in with our customers. In fact, currently, as you all know, we had won, and we are currently in the production stage of the Shine 100, the 100cc model, which HMSI is betting big on. So that is currently also getting some good bookings. So we are hopeful of a good demand out there. Coming to slide 19, which shares the EV story, our market share is, you know, in Q4 has actually gone up even higher to 80%. And we are there, you know, with every top player, you know, top Ola, of course, as you know, is 100% because TVS is 100% because Acer, Ampere, and yes, Okinawa also. So all the top players actually, you know, has vehicle suspension. We continue to do extremely well. And this slide, which is slide 20, this was a new foray. We have selectively chosen this e-bike because, one, there is a huge growth of e-bikes predicted to happen in the European geography, particularly owing to all the climate activists, and also more and more sensitization of each and every individual, which is actually a good thing. The growth of e-bikes is supposed to continue at the rate of almost 20% in the European market. So it's a very high growth area. Here we have developed the first front fork and given it to Hero Cycles, and they are exporting it to their German arm. So we have dispatched the first lot, and we are of course awaiting the performance and of course the feedback of the model in the market. And we intend to develop this further and look at some other options as well of supplying to some good e-bike makers. So this is a good new chapter, and ensuring that our portfolio further is diversified and is in line with the environment initiative, so that we do not miss on bikes which are growing due to the sustainability improvement that is happening. Coming to slide 21, which is passenger cars. Again, here we saw a market share increase compared to last year. All our SUVs, which were supplying to Maruti and also being shared by Honda, that is doing well. We also have got a good order from Tata Motors and Volkswagen. We have started supply 100%, so that is also improving. All models of Volkswagen and Skoda, which are being made in India, are being supplied by Gabriel now. So we'll see improved volumes going further. And Mahindra, of course, the XUV700, which is doing extremely well, the Thar, both continue to do well. So this is the utility vehicle. This is slide 22. You can see, all those utility vehicles which are shown as pictures here. The point is our traction in utility vehicle is very strong, and that is the segment that is growing in the passenger car space. So we are in the right space at the right time. Maruti Jimny has recently been launched. The early information that we have is the bookings are good, so we'll have to see how that performs. Slide 23 is on commercial vehicle, where we are practically the single source to the entire country, and we continue to work with every OEM, supply all the varieties just in time as the OEM desires, and that continues to be a good stronghold for us. Railways, I always mentioned that this is small. The growth is still not there. We are still not back to pre-COVID levels. But the good part is we are now expanded into high-speed trains and also locomotives, where we were not there earlier. So this is a good development. So obviously, when the volumes do start growing, we are ready with our products. Slide number 25 is an aftermarket. Here I already mentioned on the good growth that we had compared to last year. We are once again kind of relaunching the tire and tube business. And the sales have been good in the past couple of months. So we hope to build on this, the new relaunch that we have done, and, capture the tires, especially mainly in two-wheeler and three-wheeler segment. The M&A part, which we have been, telling that we were working on a couple of them, one did not come through, but one which is very important and very significant and a very high growth area has come through, which we already shared on our call on May 10th. This is with Inalfa for the roof systems, the number two player in the world for sunroof systems. We have got the order from Hyundai and Kia, so we are setting up a plant in Chennai. And we already have a lot of interest from all the other OEMs to look at developing their sunroof and supplying. So yes, we have to of course first cater to Hyundai here and build on it. But again, just to mention that it's a right product, and there's only one other player, so we are the second mover. So we'll definitely get good traction in this high growth area. Then coming to technology, we continue to reinforce our technological development. As you know, we have opened a new tech center for four-wheelers and commercial vehicle and railway with a small test track as well in Chakan. So that is doing well, and we also hired a couple of expats who are experts in electronic suspension. So we have developed our first electronic suspension semi-active, which is quite good. Instantly I did drive it myself last week, and the response has been really good. The product is really good. We'll be offering it to OEs very shortly. So we are expecting some good movement in that space as well, which was actually a blank as regards our product portfolio. So now we filled it up. We have 60 R&D specialists, and we have filed 75 patents. So that's also a very good indicator of our commitment to technology. You also know that we are amongst the highest spenders in R&D within the Indian auto components, and we continue to do so. The board remains committed towards this particular initiative. These are some pictures of on slide 31 now, and slide 32 we have already discussed. So I would actually end the presentation part here, and now we are open to questions and comments and your inputs. So over to you. Thank you so much.
Should we open the floor for questions?
Yes, please.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Mumuksh Mandalesa from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, sir, for the opportunity, sir. Just on the financial first, gross margins were low sequentially. Any reasons for decline, sir, this quarter?
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, so the gross margin was lower sequentially this quarter. So any reason for decline, sir?
So not in particular, it's only some changes in the product mix that causes that decline. But if you look at the overall perspective, including the other income, the profitability is better from the previous year.
Got it. I mean, there's no major change in R&D cost, right? In terms of increasing R&D cost, sir?
Increasing which cost?
R&D.
R&D.
No.
Okay. And sir, how do you see the demand impact on the e-two-wheeler volumes post this same subsidy reduction? Any indications from the OEM how they plan to ramp, look at the production numbers?
Obviously there'll be a little bit of correction, but yeah, what have we spoken to OEMs? In fact, many of them have already, life is only logical. You cannot make your business case purely on subsidies. So everybody has, everybody knew that the subsidies at some point of time are going to be, tapered down and even at some stage withdrawn. So I would say that, Ola is definitely, that's one OEM that where I have feedback. They have said that they've seen it earlier only, and they don't see any change in demand as far as their product is concerned. And you can see by the numbers that they continue to do well. Because it's finally, even at that price, it's still a compelling proposition. As more and more people use EVs, the sheer comfort, the low cost, zero maintenance, and the features, they become so compelling that the people will only shift and gravitate towards more and more EVs. Cost becomes is not a key driver. Cost is surely a driver when it comes to rural segment. Anyway, in rural segment, the EV traction is still yet to pick up. I'm talking of high-speed two-wheelers. So I don't see any big, there will be some immediate reaction, but I don't see any big change in terms of the demand.
Got it, sir. This is related to sunroof and the initial investment which we are making. So what are the components initially company would be localizing, and what would be procured from the other suppliers? And related to that, just what a sense on the sunroof industry, like how many OEMs would be currently importing this sunroof, and who would be being supplied by the current local supplier?
Maybe I didn't get your first part of the question. Can you repeat that first part?
Yeah. So, the rate to the sunroof investment which we are making initially, which part of sunroof we would be localizing by ourselves, and what would be procured from other suppliers?
Okay. So, sunroof, of course, we have made again a detailed plan of localization. The glass, of course, we'll be buying from the local glass makers. So that's one big big part that we'll be localizing soon. And yes, there is also a value addition that is done in-house in terms of, you know, the PU encapsulation. So that the machine is already ordered and it should come in the month of July or August. So that will also be a good value addition, which is localized. And it will be a localization as far as the OEM is concerned, naturally. There will be a significant, item, A category item being localized. Your second question was, how are OEMs currently buying it? Many are still importing. There is only one player, Webasto of Germany, who has a plant in Pune. They are also opening up a plant in Chennai. So we will be the second player who will be, opening up the sunroof systems in India. So the demand is very good. The traction, that people want only the high-end with the sunroof as far as the SUV particularly is concerned. So we see enough and more demand, and OEMs very keen to localize this part.
Oh, thank you so much for the opportunity, sir.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Priya Ranjan from HDFC AMC. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. Congrats, Manoj and Rishi. So my question is 2-3. One is on the market share front. So one is you have gained meaningful market share in two-wheeler. And what do you see the scope if the electrification continues to ramp up? And with the new auto wins, etc. So in next couple of years, where do you see the market share in two-wheeler, three-wheeler as well, in passenger car segment going forward? That is my question number one. Question number two is on the suspension part on the technology front. So are we looking more for, say, predictive maintenance, predictive suspension and all with the more electronics and motors, controller, etc.? Is that one of the area where we to focus on, or is the company at least looking at those areas to foray into and going forward? And third part is third question is mostly on the, you have mentioned about the Core 90 cost reduction program, so if you can highlight some of the features and the outcome you expect out of that.
Okay, thanks. Firstly, thanks, Priyanjan, for the compliment. Thanks to the entire team of Gabriel. Coming to your question on market share, we've seen some good improvement, as I shared with you the figures in the slides. Two-wheelers, we are at 32%. So we definitely would want, this is also a mix of electric vehicles, but within electric vehicles, which is a high growth area, we are at 80%. Yes, obviously, retaining 80% market share is going to be a challenge. Naturally, being the first mover, we have this advantage now. So we are working on, continuously looking at some even technology improvements within this space, so that we are able to give some unique USP to the EV and sustain this market share going forward. In IC engine two-wheelers, we were, our key customer HMSI has a very good relation and impression with Gabriel. We won their award, won an award recently in their vendor meet. In fact, we were also asked to present to the entire vendor forum in the vendor meet this time. Just to say that the relationship is very strong. So they have given us this motorcycle model of 100cc, which is a commuter segment, high volume segment for HMSI, on a 100% share of business basis. So this is the first time that they're doing 100% business share. And TVS also is going strong. Similarly, Suzuki also is doing well. We have recently won the Suzuki electric two-wheeler business, a new model that they're going to launch in 2024. So for that, they've already nominated us. So that will improve our EV traction further. So overall, yes, this market share from what we are at 32%, including EV, can definitely go more towards 40+%. And coming to passenger car, we are at 23%, and we have clear plans of going to 30% plus in the passenger car as well. Three-wheelers, we continue to be a dominant player, and it's a preferred, it's a very strong brand in the market. So there again, I would say more or less 60% market share in three-wheelers in IC as well as in EV. We are already with Kinetic, we are already with Bajaj, and we are already with Mahindra Clio. So we are already quite well entrenched even in the EV three-wheeler space. So that's on the market share. Your second question was on the technology. So a good question, Jiranjan. So in fact, we are right now working on semi-active. So semi-active is as far as the industry is concerned, the semi-active itself is a very good proposition and a big cost increase compared to your passive. A fully predictive is a long way away. Fully predictive is offered in very, very limited models, even in Europe, which is the most developed market in the world. Just to share, if you the Mercedes GLE, the SUV, which is over a crore of rupees, there you get a fully active suspension even in Germany at an additional cost of 5,000 euros. So you have to actually pay an additional premium when you book your car if you want a fully predictive suspension. So it's a very high ticket item. I don't think that will be coming to India. While it's a good technology to have, and we will look at developing, but it's not on as far as the immediate plans are concerned. We definitely are developing our semi-active, which is as I already mentioned, is going on the right path, and we expect to introduce in some of the OEs at the earliest in India. Now your third part was Core 90, so I'll let Rishi respond to the Core 90 initiative.
Hi, Jiranjan, good to talk to you. So again, Core 90 being something of two prongs. One is to sustain the kind of cost that we have, and in order to sort of match the inflationary pressures of salary increases and other cost increases, we have to do it year on year to maintain the efficiency of that. So previous year went into maintaining that. This year we are targeting a little more aggressive in terms of our Core 90 program, and which is in line with our double digit endeavor. So broadly speaking, we are looking at 0.5% to 1% or a little more than that as well under the Core 90 program this year.
Sure. And just the extension of the previous the technology part. So if you go from the semi-active, from the normal suspension to semi-active and then predictive, so what is the kind of the content increase happens for the OEM? The pricing or the cost in terms of percentage, not in the absolute number.
Yeah, 50,000. Well, it's a big figure. That figure is it's actually several times. I'm not able to share the figure right now because it depends on the scope. It depends on the number of sensors that the OEM wants. They want your ECU or their ECU. So the configuration also differs. It's difficult to answer that question, but suffice to say that it is in multiple of the passive suspension.
Sure.
I think that, getting a semi-active also introduced in
models is going to put a lot of cost pressure. So it's not going to be a high volume, but yes, it's a good technology which you know is expected, and that's why we are developing this in our product bouquet.
Sure. So globally, have you seen the excess semi-active is more on say 30-40 lakh rupees of car, or it's more of upward of that?
Yeah, it's totally on. I would say definitely 30+ range of cars. So you can see even if you see the cars being offered today, the high end, let's say the starting of high end, you know, let's say the A class, the C class, the Mercedes, the BMW 3 series, even the 5 series, or the Audi Q3 and A3, A4, none of them has an end.
Got it. And just coming to the sunroof part, so now you have got the customer as well, so and. You have got the technology partner as well. So, have you started the discussion with other OEMs? I mean, because now this is one of the must-to-have kind of features in most of the cars. And I think the penetration from the 20%, it will keep going up. I mean, some forecast is talking about 40-50% penetration in few years' timeline. So, what is the receptiveness of the other customers beyond, I mean, your existing orders? If you have spoken with them,
very, very interested is all I can say.
Sure. Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side. Best of luck.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Nikhil Rungta from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. A few of my questions have been answered. Just quickly, if you can also share, I mean, say 3 years down the line, what type of targeted share of revenue you are looking for from passenger cars and then two-wheeler, three-wheeler, and then from CVI? I mean, this is inclusive of the fact that we'll be starting with sunroof thing as well. So, say 3 years down the line, where do you see ourselves?
So, your voice was a little feeble, couldn't get you. Can you be a little louder?
Yeah. Is it better?
Yes.
Yeah, so sir, I wanted like say 3 years down the line, where do we see ourselves in terms of share of various segments, basically passenger car and then two-wheeler, three-wheeler and CVR?
In terms of our segment mix?
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, if you see this quarter, like I mentioned, we are at roughly, you know, 59, 27 and 12 is what at Q4 we were. So going forward, I would say it would be more towards, in 55-30, you know, between passenger car and two-wheeler, in that range.
55 and 30, basically. 55 would be passenger and two-wheeler, you mentioned.
Basically, two-wheelers. Two-wheeler and three-wheeler. We actually report these.
Two and three.
Two, three-wheelers. And hopefully we should be adding a little small bar on the bicycles, e-bicycles also. Of course, numbers are too early to say, but hopefully, yes, we should be able to add.
Okay. And sir, we have also started focusing on international geography. So, in terms of export and OEM as well, if you can give what type of share you are looking at 3 years from now.
Export right now, you know, if you talk of Gabriel exports, we are doing, you know, just about 4% as
right.
Of total. So we have, you know, always told that we want that to be in double digits, 10%. You know, so we are working on the technology, the semi-active, which we are developing, you know, obviously will be more traction might be there in developed markets. So we still maintain that is our aspiration and target of getting to that figure.
Okay. And the last question. Yeah.
It'll take time though. I mean, your export breakthroughs take some time.
Got it. So last question, if you can just throw some light on the railways part as well. I mean, how is it moving now? Last quarter, you indicated that things are moving slow. But how is it now and where do you see it?
What part?
Railways.
It has improved, I mean, you know, but the recovery are still, I mean, the figures are still not near the pre-COVID levels. I mean, it still is a very small growth that we are seeing there.
Okay. Okay. So it won't become a big share in our revenue. So
we don't expect that.
Okay. Okay.
But yes, we now also have developed the locomotives which are not with us. So that should add, you know, of course, some size here.
Okay. Okay. Perfect, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Chetan Chindoria from AlfAccurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir, and congratulations for a very good set of numbers. Sir, wanted to understand, last 2 years we have seen very sharp improvement in market share, and thereby very strong growth ahead of the industry volume. So going ahead also, given that we have high share in the leading models of Maruti and also Volkswagen, Mahindra, and also good share in EV, should we see mid double digit sharp outperformance over the underlying industry volume?
Yeah, we are seeing that improvement. We are basically, as I said, coming to passenger car, we have the right products in the SUV segment, and which is growing. So that is helping us. Clearly, we'll, the target is to outperform the industry, be ahead of the industry. In two-wheelers, through improving our market share in EVs, which is happening, in PC through SUVs, and also getting into EVs. We still are not on EV. Our first EV in passenger car is the Citro, EC3, which has been launched. And we are also working on a model with Tata Motors for an EV platform, which will be in 2025. So with that, even our passenger car, market share will at least continue to be ahead of the market is what is the plan.
Okay, got it. And so on the margin side, earlier we were aspiring to be double-digit margin. And then you had also alluded in last call about increasing competitive intensity also. So given all this scenario, should we expect improvement in our EBITDA margin going ahead into next medium term? And what are your aspirations about it?
That isn't for sure. I mean, that's the plan I shared, that Rishi also shared on the core 90 and several things that we're doing. So clear plan is to improve EBITDA going forward in this year itself, and aspiration is yes, to move into double digits. That may take some time, but in this year itself, we are working towards improvement of EBITDA for sure.
Okay, so we should see 50 to 100 basis point improvement. That is what might be your expectation.
I've always said we don't give that specific guidance, but yeah, I can tell you on improvement, yes, you will see that.
Okay, great, sir. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Viraj Kacharia from Simple. Please go ahead. We have lost the line. Next question comes from the line of Mr. Pankaj. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah, Pankaj.
Hello. Okay. Thanks a lot for taking my question. So first thing I just wanted to know, the order book for Vande Bharat is out, and we being the market leader in the suspension, and as I understand, one Vande Bharat train costs around 120 odd crores as per the tender, and this the railway minister has time and again showed the efficacy of the suspension which has been implemented in the train. And as we have 80% plus market share in railways. Are we not vendor to these, railways or the companies which are developing these two, producing these two, these chains? And secondly, in the same, the cost is 120 crores, and you had earlier mentioned that each train, rather, in LHB, Goki, which we used to supply, there used to be 16 odd suspensions instead of 4 odd, which were used by, in earlier trains. So just wanted to understand what is the total addressable market for us, and whether we are present with these producers or manufacturing of the train or not.
Okay, Pankaj, so just I'll try to answer your question. So on the railway, we have two or rather three new orders that we've got, but these are development orders. We still do not have the bulk order that will come through, once the development order is processed and it performs well, which is what we are expecting. It should not be a problem. So one is, after LHB, which had 18 shops, 18 shops per coach, we have now, into train 18, we are also into the electric locomotive, and we are in the Vande Bharat. So all these three are new additions to our railway family. And each of this has 20 dampers to a coach, or even to a locomotive. So there are 20. So the figure of 18 actually becomes 20. So to that extent, there is an increased content per coach. Now, the tendering, we are still not in the production space, so I do not give a figure of that as of now. But on the tendering part, it's again shared between various players. So that's how it will go.
So if one train costs around 120 crores, there are 16 odd coaches to in each train. So can I, and that does the value of each coach would be around 7.5 to 8 odd crores. So can we assume, as and when it is manufactured, can we assume, and this suspension being critical part of the ride quality out there, so can we assume substantial share of these 7.5 to 8 crores per coach? As a total addressable market, total share of share for suspension, and maybe say around 50 lakhs to a crore per coach.
Unfortunately, no. The biggest ticket size in a coach is actually the rolling stock, and then the braking system, and then the electricals that are there, and the air conditioning and the door systems. So largely, the big ticket items are these. The suspension definitely is not in that space, but yes, the value per coach of a suspension is significantly higher compared to, let's say, what we give in passenger car, etc. No doubt about that. But it is nowhere near crore or something that you mentioned. Certainly not.
And sir, my second question.
That's why I said the volume, while it brings a good bottom line, but the volume point of view is still a very small, and now that the cable is almost 3,000 crores, it still is a very small part. So we don't even report it in the segmental revenue. It's actually quite small.
Second question regarding the margins. If you compare our top line somewhere in FY18 or 17, I suppose, we had a top line of 1500 odd crores and part of around 156 odd crores. Over a period of time, we have practically doubled the top line, but our part has just grown by 33%. And in this period, we have implemented the Core 19 program. It seems that the whole program, though it was a success, but it has not contributed anything to the bottom line.
Well, Chetan, good observation, but like we told, the commodity increases have taken away, even if you do a simple, even if you get a full compensation, they have taken away almost 2.5% arithmetically, if you look at that in terms of the growth. So, you know, so figures, if we had not done the Core 90, figures definitely could have been adverse, much adverse. The Core 90 has, you know, poor health in terms of, you know, not sleeping, you know, and like I mentioned, you know, now we are looking at other programs to improve our margins, which you are seeing over the last 3 years is an improvement trend at the total year, if you see. So that should continue.
So can we expect anything in near term?
Yeah, like I mentioned, in this year itself, you know, while you don't give any guidance on figures, but there will be an improvement in EBITDA for sure.
And my last question, if I can, if I may, please. Why are we entering into the tires and tubes segment? I mean, this is another commodity which I think we are diluting the value of Gabriel brand by entering into this segment.
No, you know, contrary to that, actually, you know, the brand is, that's why if you see, we have not selectively chosen the segment. You're not going into the commercial vehicle and the passenger car. Okay, so we are only going into three-wheelers and two-wheelers. Particularly three-wheelers, where our brand name is extremely strong. So, in fact, it adds to the dealer overall product basket. And, you know, they have a wider range to offer as far as Gabriel is concerned. And tire also has been chosen because it is around the suspension. You know, it's the part which is distant from suspension, it's an adjacent part. And actually, both, you know, kind of play a role in each other's performance. So that's why tire, you know, it definitely does not dilute the brand. We have selectively chosen this segment. You know, the pull from the customer also is good. The other part is, you know, this is the only tire that is sold over the counter. You know, it's not like, you know, you have tire sales shops only doing that, like passenger cars. This, over the counter, any retailer is free to sell and recommend the brand. So that's why we have chosen this particular segment. And as I said, it's doing well. So the idea is, we have a strong brand name. You know, we need to leverage the brand name. Again, carefully choosing, you know, not doing everything, and also maintaining the quality. Your question is very right when it comes to maintaining the quality. So we have carefully chosen the supplier. We do quality audits. We have engaged advisors who have been from the tire industry, very, very seasoned people, to ensure the quality is maintained.
How much is the capital employed for the same?
Zero. And practically zero. This is a very nominal for the tire mold, but practically zero. So ROC point is, you know, an excellent quality.
Sure. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Tiral from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is again regarding to the Core 90 program. So how much of the benefit of Core 90 initiative, according to you, is reflected in FY23 margin?
A percent to a percent and a half.
How much, sir? You're talking about 1%.
1.5%.
Sir, your voice is not audible.
1 to 1.5%.
Okay, and sir, how much of the cost inflation we are able to pass on to the customer? As MD sir, said that, you know, we have been impacted by almost 2.5% because of the rise in the cost of raw material. So how much we have passed on, to the customer, and how much we are expecting in FY24?
The commodity pass through is almost 95% in our case.
So we have, fully passed on whatever the cost inflation we have seen till date.
If you do the calculation, the mathematical impact of commodity in the previous year is almost 1%. Even if we do 100% pass through, the margins would go down because of the mathematical denominator effect of 1%.
Okay. And on the sunroof business aside, as MD sir said that we are looking to localize A categories of items. So how much this contributes to the total RM basket?
So you're talking about sunroof, right?
Yes, sir.
So obviously, unfortunately, not able to disclose that, but we are going by, you know, first the glass, because it's logistically also a big item. Cost wise also, it's a big part of the RM. So it makes sense to localize the glass first and some other parts. And we have drawn a detailed plan of localization over the next, you know, actually 3 years, because we have done in phases. There is validation also. So that's what it is.
Okay, and so what is the CapEx for FY24 as a business as a whole?
Well, we are targeting 150. Cash flow should be in the range of 100 to 150.
So this includes this sunroof also, or you are talking about only Gabriel standalone?
Excluding sunroof.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Shashank Kanodia from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Just wanted to check, are we present with Simple Energy, which launched an electric two-wheeler yesterday evening?
With Simple Energy, I don't think so. But we keep tracking. I'll come back on that, because there are so many two-wheeler EV manufacturers, so, you know, over 200 of them. So we are actually carefully choosing the ones that we actually develop, because we also do a kind of a, you know, a check on a kind of due diligence also on the maker. Otherwise, you know, there's a huge amount of development effort that goes. So Simple Energy, we're making samples for them, but I don't know whether it's in the model that has been shared yesterday.
Okay. And secondly, sir, early in the calendar year, there was, media articles mentioning about the front forks taking a knockoff at Ola electric scooters. So just wanted to check, are we at fault by any case, and Ola is offered to replace it free of cost for the customers. So is there any financial implications for us?
So if you read the article, it came, there's a clarification also which came in Mint. So it is clearly said that the fork arm is what failed. It is not the front fork suspension. Unfortunately, when you talk of fork, everything comes to front fork. So it is a casting which connects the front fork with the wheel.
Okay.
It is bought by directly by Ola. We don't supply this part to them or to anybody. It's not our scoop.
Understood. So we are not at fault by any chance. Fine, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Devan Patel from Samisha Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, my questions are around CAPEX. What is our peak revenue potential from current capacity, and for the next 2 years, what kind of brownfield or greenfield expansion do we need to do, which will give us what kind of asset turns?
So we are planning some brownfield, you know, in both in Kansa and Chakran. We are doing some minor expansions. These are maybe just 20 crores or 20, 30 crores or. So in terms of capacity in machines, as well as also increasing the store area, SG area, etc. So increasing the land and the building, because we already have land. So these are the things that we are planning in terms of brownfield. Greenfield, yes. Looking at the growth, we surely will have to add a plant in the right geography. We are developing a geography, but let's say in south, while we are in Hosur, we don't have anything in Chennai region. So that is one area. And we are also, in the Sanand Gujarat area, we had a plot of land in Tata Motors Vendor Park. So we are also now taking the adjoining plot as well. We are in discussion with Tata Motors based on the business that they offered. So that will be some additional, you know, you call it, well, it's it's a brownfield or a greenfield. Yeah, it's a regional plot, so adjoining plot, yes.
So what is our peak revenue potential from current capacity?
From the current capacity, we easily, close to 4,000 crores, a little less than 4,000 crores. This is not including sunroof. Sunroof is different.
This new greenfield, we'll get what kind of asset turns from that, and what would be the tentative size?
So, Devan, again, the asset turn in the first year obviously is going to take a little bit of a hit as compared to the 6.6 that you see currently. But with its peak utilization, I would safely assume that in the range of 6, an asset turnover should be a healthy one.
Okay. Sir, and secondly, on negotiating with our OEM partners for price increases, now we've already hit 31% ROIC. In FY23, does that somehow dilute our negotiation efforts?
Well, we didn't get the question. We can repeat.
What about 31%, is it?
We already have reached 31% ROIC with these margins. Does that hinder our negotiation with OEMs on getting price increases?
Yes, that's still is, especially we have got the price increase back to back on the RM. Most of that is done and concluded, practically everything. So we are also, of course, looking at some, process cost increase because everything has gone up, including power, fuel, wage cost, etc., the minimum wages, etc. So we are also looking at some process cost increase with OEMs. Those discussions are still in process.
Okay. Sir, and on sunroof, what will be our outlay in terms of equity and when do revenues from that JV start?
The revenue is proposed to start from the first quarter of the next calendar year, which is the Q4 of the current financial year. In terms of the share capital, we are looking at in the range of 50 to 60 crores.
That's all from my side, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Viraj Pacharya from Simple. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the correct question. Focus on the gross margin. If you look at our premium, hello?
Viraj, not able to hear you clearly.
Am I audible now?
Yes, better.
Yeah, so basically, first question is on the gross margin. Now, if you look at our mixed broadly in terms of business, say aftermarket or the export piece or even the CV railways, these are typically in terms of margin hierarchy, these are the highest margin businesses for us. And in the year, they have done quite good. And in terms of share increases, also, there's been a healthy increase. Similarly, in terms of EV, in say two wheelers, where the value addition or the margin structure is really better, that's also seen as a really healthy flow for us. But when you look at the, gross margin for the year, and especially say if I say even in Q4, we're still around that 23.5-24% band. So I understand the numerator denominator element, but just purely in terms of the margin structure, when you say that 250 business points of peak gap, what will drive that gap? Because the mix is already in your favor incrementally. For last few quarters, we've already seen the RM softening or stabilizing. So, from a contribution margin perspective, how should we understand, the journey of, say, 250 or 300 business points increase? And, what will that entail for us?
So, yeah, good question. To sort of summarize it in a simple form, let's look at, say, 80 to 100 basis points on the operating leverage, and the remaining should come from the gross margin. And gross margins will have various levers, including Core 90, which is renegotiating with suppliers, renegotiating with customers on some price increases, It's also to do with some softening of commodity having a full year effect now, given that last year did not have the softening for the full year, and we still saw a lot of increases coming through. To the extent of 0.8% last year, the commodity impact was there on account of denominator, and around 0.2 on account of under recovery because of the other businesses where there is no 100% indexation. So those benefits are going to come in this year, as well as we are looking at some product mix changes as well, which will help us support the improvement in the gross margins.
Just to add further on this now, if you look at our localization, say in a passenger vehicle segment or a, you know, two-wheeler, and this is in relation to, you know, if you look at the contribution margins which some of the other competitors they own, say in a PV by Tenneco, or, you know, you have, you know, other two-wheeler, MNC and local players. Even after this improvement which you're expecting, this will still be a sizable amount of gap versus what they earn and what we earn. So is there scope in terms of further localization, increasing the value addition, you know, in the existing business structure? So how are we thinking on those lines?
On the passenger car side, we are fairly competitive. If you were saying about Tenneco, we are aware of the numbers to some extent. Again, everything was known to us. But and we compete in the same market, so we are fairly aware of what kind of numbers do they work with, and I must say that we are better than that. Yes, in terms of two-wheelers especially, we have some scope of improvement, and that's where we're going to sort of look at maybe a backward integration in order to reduce our overall cost.
Okay. So in terms of the base margin, you know, let's say at the contribution level for this business, suspension business for us, you know, after all the initiatives and, you know, RM prices remain stable, then that should be somewhere around, say, 25-26% level. I mean, indicatively, I'm not saying by when or, you know, it also depends on a lot of other elements. But generally, in terms of, you know, if I have to just understand the base margin in this business for us, given the mix and everything.
We answered this question already, given that we are looking at 2-2.5%, and of which, say, assuming 0.5 to 1% operating leverage, the remaining should come essentially from gross margins.
Okay. And second question is on the, you know, capex, which is at around 150 crore for this year. Correct me if I heard it wrong. That will be, you know, including the 50 crore investment which we'll be making in the JV, right, sir?
No, that is excluding that.
Okay, so this 150 crore is primarily towards what major buckets? I mean, if you can provide some perspective.
So give and take, we do 30 to 40 crores on routine maintenance capex. Remaining will be in the field of technology, number one. Number two would be automation. Number three would be backward integration. And number four would be the capacity enhancements as and where required for specific programs.
Okay, so, you know, even in this year, I think there were some 13 crores of purchase of intangibles. So, from a, I'm assuming this is pertaining to the technology which we have acquired.
It's not technology is acquired, it is towards the technology that we are developing.
Okay, so both these investments, you know, in the past we talked about having some gaps in terms of technology versus, say, some of the MNC competitors. So post these investments, would we by and large be, you know, how should we look at our overall portfolio coverage versus some of these competitors?
Yeah, so it will definitely, as far as technology is concerned, you know, we'll close that gap on semi-active. But having said that, you know, we also, the passive suspension also still remains the mainstay of business. So we'll have to continuously keep working on, you know, newer technologies, like we introduced the FSD in on the minor XUV70, which has been, you know, received very well. We have to continue to work on passive, and the second part is, you know, while we will fill up this technology gap, the important gap to be filled also is with respect to global business is, you know, acquiring global customers, which is why, you know, we are also investing in, you know, hiring of expats. We already done that. With that, we'll open up some global customers as well. So we'll then close both the technology gap and the global customer relationship gap.
Okay, and last question was on the cash part. So, you know, despite the capex or the investment which we'll be putting in the green, the cash position will just keep on building up, you know. Any thought process on, you know, how we're looking to use that? Any thoughts on the buyback or the distribution, a dividend distribution policy?
So, we've been wanting to have the inorganic piece come live, which we have now done with one of the JV. The target is to pursue this journey further, which is the largest utilization of the cash balance. We may need to even lever if the target size is big. Second is on the organic growth that we already have, including backward integration. Certainly, the cash flow generation for the year would be utilized towards that. So the way I see it, from this, the build-up is actually going to be healthy in terms of, you know, giving us an opportunity to look at a bigger ticket size in terms of organic.
Okay. Wish you good luck, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Manoj Kolhatkar for closing comments. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So thank you once again, for those really interesting questions and also feedback and some compliments as well. So we will continue to, of course, increase and improve our market share, the share of the market in summary, and glad to, of course, share the new diversification that we have done in sunroof. We are all very excited about it. Clearly, this gives a whole new energy in the entire system. And just to say that this is the first significant move that we have done, and we will continue to scan for opportunities. It's not this is one off, but this is part of a larger strategic plan, and we will continue to work on this, and hopefully. Do count with one more in this fiscal or next fiscal. So that's on the diversification part. As regards the industry, I've already shared, this year will be little more muted than what we saw, the high growth year last year. Nevertheless, it's a growth year, and overall, the economy of the country is in good hands, and looks to be on a path of growth only, so we don't have any immediate reason to worry as regards the overall economy. Look forward to a good year and your support as always. Thank you so much, and that's all from my side.
Thank you. On behalf of Gabriel India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. We now disconnect your lines.